This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Good morning, gardeners. It's Sunday morning. It's time for your favorite gardener and mine, Patrick Parent. Get yourself a cup of coffee and get out a notebook because it's time to solve all your gardening problems.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Good morning, gardeners. Welcome back to the Paul Parent Garden Club. Our phone number here is 855-660-4261. Again, 855-660-4261. And you can give us a call, and we'll do everything we can to help you out with all of your gardening questions. Now, before the last break, we were talking with Liz, and right at the end there was another question coming up, and I wanted her to hang tight so we could get to that. Liz, can you just repeat what you were looking to get answered for those of us who...
Yes. I've given my clivia a deep soak now and of just water, and now I want to put it under my grow light. And I didn't know if that's a good idea or not, and if I do, how long I should put it there.
Okay. So
how many hours is it?
Well, so the thing about clivia is it can grow in pretty low light. It can even grow in, you know, moderate light. It doesn't need a ton of light for it to be growing and do well for you. You know, it's best to be put in like an east-facing window and go from there. But if you want to use it just to kind of warm up the plant a little bit, warm up its roots, get it ready, thinking that it's spring, you know, I'd use the regular light that would normally would come in naturally during the day, and then maybe leave on the grow light for, you know, a couple hours after the sun would go down. So maybe like from like the sun's going down 4:35 o'clock at this point, maybe till like 7. It's nothing. Nothing major that you have to do with it, because they don't mind, you know, they do all right with low light. But if you want to get them, you know, thinking spring and that type of thing, they sometimes the grow lights are like heat sources as well. I'd do it after the sun has gone down, during the day, and maybe, you know, a couple hours afterwards. Okay, you won't have to do a lot of it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Liz, you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, our phone number here is 855-660-4261. And I know we have some calls. So, Nathan, who's up next?
Callowin is in Rhode Island.
Callowin, welcome to the Paul Parent Garden Club. How can we help you today?
Hi, Patrick. I received a poinsettia plant at Christmas time. It was doing very beautifully, but in time, some of the leaves have fallen off. However, I've been watering it lightly once a week with Miracle-Gro. I don't know if I'm using the right stuff. However, the stems now have shoots of leaves coming out, so it looks like it's surviving. But I need to know the right thing to do and what to use to fertilize or water it.
Okay. So it broke up a little bit, so I'm going to just repeat the question just in case some others out there have the same question. So you got a poinsettia for Christmas. It flowered.
Yeah.
you are started to lose some leaves after Christmas, but what's starting to happen is you're starting to see some new leaves form. You're wondering kind of just what to do next to keep it thriving. Is that correct?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. So poinsettias can actually, can be overwintered and kept throughout the year. They can be considered like a tropical houseplant.
Yeah.
That is something that they are native to Mexico, and they just grow on the sides of the road there. So you could do that as part of it. One of the big things when it comes to the poinsettia for during the winter periods is you don't want to water as much. You want to cut back on the water so you're not watering, couple days or once a week. You could probably do it every 1.5 to 2 weeks. That would be fine. The other thing is, for like care, I would wait and be putting any fertilizer down every couple weeks versus once a week. The water soluble fertilizer usually lasts about 2 weeks in there. So maybe do it every other watering that you're doing. Again, it's one that you want to kind of let get a little bit drier during this season into the spring. From there, that's when you can actually make some drastic changes to the poinsettia where you're going to cut it a bit. You're going to prune it back to allow it to refill in the plant itself, and getting so we can get some of those blossoms for the fall and winter. You can even plant it outside during the spring, maybe into like June. You could plant it out there, let it grow, and then bring it back in for the fall. But it needs those. It doesn't want to get below like 65 degrees, so it wouldn't be something that you could leave out until like October. You might want to be looking in September to bring it back in. But again, I think what's happening is this time of year, the plant kind of goes into like that dormancy period, rejuvenates itself for next year. So watering maybe every, week and a half to 2 weeks. And if you're watering every 2 weeks, then you could put the Miracle-Gro, but not every week. So that's probably, you're seeing some of these new leaves pop up, which is a good thing. So it's starting to think that it's, becoming spring. But the great thing about that is if you have some new leaves and they form new, like, junctions, you actually can prune it a little bit more later on in May or so and get a wider plant from it. So that's a good benefit to have. So I think what you're looking to do at this point, cut back on the watering, cut back a little bit on the fertilizer, let it go for a little bit, because in May you're going to do some pruning back of the poinsettia. Okay. All right. We might have dropped there. There was a little bit of an issue with the phone line. Hopefully that helps. The other thing, just for everybody who's wondering, who got that poinsettia and brought it home and they still have it next year, let's think about next year in October 1st, write this on your calendar for your poinsettia, you need the plant to have 12 hours of uninterrupted darkness a night. So that means not going into a room and you turn the light on, or there's no street lights outside the window. We're talking put it in a closet, put it in a box, put it in something where it's not going to get light for 12 hours uninterrupted, and then take it out during the day, and then 12 hours again. Usually what we're looking to do is like 5 p.m. to 8 a.m. will be the best time. I know it's a little bit over 12 hours. But that's a good span of doing it. About dinner time, you put it away. About breakfast time, you take it out for the day. But it wants that dark period. And just remember, we want to start October 1st on those poinsettias because it needs a couple of, it's like 6 weeks of this period to get it to be ready to bloom for you, as it forces it to know this is our dormant period, this is when I need to store everything up, and then it pushes those flowers out afterwards. So remember with poinsettias, if you're overwintering, October 1st is a key date for you. So make sure the plants are inside before that. Again, they don't like below 65 degrees, so that's the first step. But at the same time, they need uninterrupted dark period for at least 12 hours. So a little bit of work to do, but in the end, they are worth it. Our phone number here is 855-660-4261, and we do have another call on the line. So, Nathan, who's up next?
Doug is in Mount Morris, New York.
Doug, welcome to the Paul Parent Garden Club. How can we help you today?
Good morning. Good morning. I enjoy your show, and I wanted to say thank you for your advice on purchasing some fruit trees. I called you a couple months ago, and you gave me some good advice on ordering new fruit trees, and I got some on order.
Perfect.
Got a question. Yeah, I got a question on you for forsythia bush. I've got two, and they're I've been in the house 30 years, and they've been here the whole time. I do prune them. They're only a few feet apart. One blooms wonderfully, and the other doesn't bloom. It goes right to leaf.
Okay.
And I was wondering what your thoughts would be on that.
All right. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to hang tight with me because I'm about to hit the break. I wanted to bring you on so we can get at least that info out. So hang tight for me on the other side of the break. I'll tell you what we can do to make that all work. So hang tight. Our phone number here is 855-660-4261.
If you love to grow roses, you know the damage that insects and diseases can cause. Bonide Rose RX Systemic Drench offers insects and disease control in one easy application. Bonide Rose RX Drench is a multipurpose fungicide and insecticide for roses, flowers, and shrubs. Mix it in a watering can and apply it directly to the base of the plant. One application protects the rose, the flower, and shrubs from insects and diseases for up to 6 weeks.
How would you like the garden to be green this year? Yes, it's possible with BioSafe products. BioSafe has an organic weed and grass killer. No more Roundup. Organic disease control. Organic insecticide. Organic mold and mildew. BioSafe fruit and vegetable wash. And all the organic products to keep your fish pond clean. Go to BioSafeSystems.com. Call 860-290-8890. BioSafe.
Would you love to have the more colorful birds and songbirds on your backyard feeders this year? Start with quality bird food from Wild Delight. Open a bag and smell the seed blend. Find raisins, cranberries, cherries, along with sunflower, peanuts, tree nuts, and thistle seed. Wild Delight is the only company that adds vitamins, electrolytes, and minerals to all of their seed blend. Keep your birds healthy this year with Wild Delight. No mourning doves or grackles, just beautiful birds when you use Wild Delight bird food.
Hello, I'm your BioAdvanced lawn care scientist.
Where'd you come from?
I want you to try new all-in-one weed and feed.
What's this?
All-in-one weed and feed. It kills lawn weeds like dandelion and clover, plus kills crabgrass, all in one easy step.
Did you say kills crabgrass?
Yes. Weeds, feeds, plus kills crabgrass.
Wow! Really?
With new all-in-one weed and feed from BioAdvanced Science-Based Solutions.
My lawn is going to look great.
Get more from the blue bag. Always read and follow label instructions.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Welcome back to the Paul Parent Garden Club. Our phone number here is 855-660-4261. Again, 855-660-4261. And before the break, we were talking with Doug in regards to his forsythia tree and how he's got two of them. They're next to each other. One's growing, showing flowers, and the other one is not. So I do have just a couple follow-up questions so I can see if there's anything we can think of before we get into some of the other reasons. Are they on like a corner of a house where one's on one side, one's on the other, and gets different sun or those types of things?
Correct. Yeah, one faces east and the other faces west, although they're real close to each other.
Okay. So one's getting a little bit more sun than the other?
Yes.
Okay. So that could be part of it. I would assume that the one on the east is the one that's not blooming?
The one that's facing east, yes.
Okay. So that could definitely be the fact that there's not enough sun there.
Oh.
And that's what's pushing that to happen. So, you know, and it's hard to say, right, because they're right next to each other. So you would never think that way. So
yeah.
Another couple things we can look at doing is you say you prune them every year. When do you prune them?
I haven't pruned them. I didn't prune them last fall.
Okay.
Previous falls I pruned them.
Okay, so you prune them in the fall each year?
Every couple years. I don't think I did it last year.
Okay. So what I would like to see you do going forward, prune your forsythias after they're done blooming. Okay. So that it has the entire year to build up inside for next year's flowers. Okay.
Okay.
That's one thing. Anything that flowers, I always like to, prune it if I have to, after it's done blooming. That way, even if, you know, some of them, they don't all store their flowers for winter, you know, not like a rhododendron, right? You know, rhododendron, you see the buds on there, you know, later in the season, all of a sudden, so you know if you prune those, you're not going to get the flowers. But I like to do it with anything, as a rule of thumb in general, anything that flowers, prune it right after it flowers, maybe a couple weeks after it flowers.
Even a lilac, partner?
Yeah, on those, okay. I would, okay?
Okay, good to know.
Sometimes if you prune them too late in the season, or if you're doing it like too early, say, or early spring, you can actually cut some of those flowers that could be popping off on there. The thing about it is, though, I mean, I say all these things, but you have one that's right next to it, and you're doing the same things, right? Mm-hmm. So you're not doing something wrong. This isn't something that is you on this, I think.
Okay.
I think this has to do with too much shade on the one side. I think that what could be happening sometimes with forsythia is they get to a certain point, and they just can't bloom anymore. Sometimes they just get too old. They've been too stressed out for those areas. So that could be part of it. I don't know how big the forsythia is, but maybe it's time to, you know, dig it up and maybe move it into a more sunny location, or just cut it back and start something new.
Okay,
but I mean, if the plant looks good and it's flush, it's full of green, and it serves a purpose, then, you know, just leave it there. But if it's just because, you know, if you want to get it to bloom, you're going to either have to move it or, you know, get rid of it and start new.
Okay, you don't think like a possible heavy fertilizer or something like that would bring it on?
So you could try like a heavy phosphorus to try and push it, but it does need the sun to help with the photosynthesis and everything to push those flowers to grow. You know, look at something like a superphosphate, right? Sometimes superphosphate comes in like 0.18.0 or like a 0.44.0. Either one would be fine, but try it out. Those forsythia are close enough where you might notice that the one that does bloom is even pushing more blooms than ever because of it. So it might not be a bad thing.
Okay. Alrighty.
Alrighty.
Would you have time for one other quick question on a Christmas cactus?
Yeah, just hang tight for me. Hang tight on the other side of the break. I'll answer because I know I don't have a lot behind you. So hang tight. We're going to take a break. We will be back in a few here.
Hard at work for over 75 years, Dram watering tools have been the professional's choice for quality and durability. Now, you can create the softest shower of rain with a Dram rain wand in your garden. Choose from 9 water patterns for a variety of uses with a revolver spray gun. And use a color storm sprinkler for a lush playground. Quality you can depend on for a lifetime. Dram, the professional's choice for lawn and garden. Available at a fine garden center near you. Visit us online at dram.com.
Are your window boxes and containers wilting on these hot days of summer? Do you spend countless hours watering your garden? Well, it's not too late to change that with soil moisture annuals. Just punch a few holes in the soil near the plant and add a pinch or two of soil moisture annuals. The soil moisture annuals will swell 200 times, holding the water in the soil for your plants to use. Established plants like roses, vegetables, annuals, perennials, and new shrubs and trees will stop wilting. That's soil moist.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is blasting the decision over former President Trump being found not guilty of inciting the Capitol insurrection.
What we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no options because they were afraid to defend their job, respect the institution in which they serve.
Following the impeachment acquittal, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer on the Senate floor calling Mr. Trump's actions related to the Capitol attack
the most despicable act that any president has ever committed, and the majority of Republicans cannot summon the courage or the morality to condemn it.
But while Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell voted to acquit Trump, he called the president's actions on January 6th
disgraceful, dereliction
of duty.
This is USA Radio News. The CDC's new roadmap to getting schools reopened around the country are getting high marks from teachers. With more, here's USA's Mike Fortier.
The head of the country's largest teachers union calls the CDC guidelines a good first step. Becky Pringle is president of the National Education Association. She says following the CDC's guidelines could help make schools the safest place in any community. Randy Weingarten is president of the American Federation of Teachers. She says the CDC is finally offering the rigorous science-based roadmap teachers have been asking for since the pandemic started. Weingarten, though, telling CNBC this week, questions still remain about getting teachers vaccinated.
My members are clamoring for vaccination, which is great, and we need to actually make sure that they're prioritized so that they have shots in the arms as quickly as possible.
CNN, meanwhile, reporting that less than 100,000 students nationwide live in areas safe enough to reopen under these guidelines. For USA Radio News, I'm Mike Fortier.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
And welcome back to the Paul Parent Garden Club. Before the break, we were talking with Doug. He had one more question for me. I believe it was in regards to a Christmas cactus. How can we help you with that there, Doug?
It's interesting. I'm just wondering maybe the answer you gave me on the forsythia, possible issue of being too old, could be a Christmas cactus issue. This year, a bunch of the stems shriveled up on me, and I had to trim them off, probably like half, and it's a good-sized Christmas cactus. It used to be my mother's, so it's at least 20 years old, if not older. I didn't let it dry out or anything, but I'm not real familiar with Christmas cactuses, and I was wondering what would cause that to shrivel up where I had to prune off a bunch of the dead stems.
Well, it could be a couple of things. It could be it could be pot bound. There could be an issue there. I'd take a look at that. Take a look at the temperatures and that it was on. Was it too warm in areas? Did it dry out? That type of thing. Those would be the things that I would look at.
What's the easiest way to check about being pot bound? Because it's in a clay pot.
Yeah. So I'm assuming with it being older, it's pretty decent size.
Mm-hmm.
So the easiest way usually is to flip it over, right? And keep your hand underneath it and pull some of the pot to see what's going on there. Do you know the last time that plant was repotted?
It's been a long time. Yeah, it's been a long time. That's making sense.
That could be part of it, because I think that would be something that to refocus on the root system, that could be something right there.
Okay, great.
So I'd look at that.
All right. Well, I appreciate your help, and I really enjoy your show.
Thank you. You have a great rest of your day, Doug.
Okay, you do the same. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Yep. All right. I know we got some more calls. Nathan, who's up next?
Bob's in South Portland, Maine.
Bob, welcome to the Paul Parent Garden Club. How can we help you today?
Hello?
Good morning, Bob.
Oh, good morning. I'm sorry. I put the phone down and realized the last minute. Listen, your last newsletter...
Yep.
About the clivia.
Mm-hmm.
That plant you had a picture of was beautiful. Now, is that plant for sale at $1,000?
Yeah, I don't need, it's not ours.
Oh, it's not yours.
I wish it was.
It's not yours.
No.
Okay.
My when we take them, we'll take some of the pictures off, like the online, that type of thing.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah, no. It is a pretty good looking one.
Now, here's the thing. There's been a clivia in this house for 10 years.
Yep.
And we've only seen it flower once in the 10 years, and that was just after we had it split. So now for the last 3+ years, there hasn't been any flowers. Is there any way we can motivate that baby to give flowers? Because, I mean, I know it's this time of year, apparently. I think you said from talking to someone last year is when it flowers.
Yep.
So with the clivia,
what is it? So it needs like a 6-week span of cold weather.
Okay.
That's part of it. So that's why winter is a time when it'll start to bloom. And that could be, you know, the best way to do it. Sometimes it's slower to flower when it gets older than 10 years old. So that could be part of it.
That's doing that.
It takes about 4 years for it to start to flower. And then it will take, you know, once it gets past like 10 years old or older, sometimes it slows down and it won't flower as much. But what I might look at doing with the clivia you have is think about splitting it.
Again.
To get it so there's younger plants, if you will, to give them a couple of years to grow into the pots and get them to reflower. How much sun do you have it in?
It's in a, they're both on the east side of the house, so that's what I can tell you. So here in South Portland.
That's perfect.
Okay.
So you want them in the east.
One's upstairs and one's downstairs, and they're both on the east side of the house.
Okay, so the thing I would look at is they want a cold period for like 6 weeks around this time. When I say cold period, I'm not talking like 20 degrees. I'm talking probably 40 degrees. You don't want to go any lower than 35 minimum. You're looking at like 40 to 60 degrees. So they when they're in like full sun, when they're in the warm weather inside. 65, 70, it just thinks it's summer all the time. So it needs a little bit of cooler temperatures. Maybe it's, I wouldn't say the garage because I know that, maybe it's not heated. I'd look for like a basement where it gets a little bit cooler.
I can tell you this much, Patrick. The two rooms that they're in do not get heat.
Okay.
The heat is turned down to at least 60. The other room, we turn it off because it's such a huge living room that you can never get it warm enough to enjoy. So it's that one of them is sitting there and the other one is sitting right above it, and it doesn't have any heat. I mean, it has heat, but we don't ever turn it on at all.
Yep. So maybe to try and force it to flower, maybe you get it into some warm weather now, into an area where it's going to get, so it'll get 60 or above because it's had like a 30-day cold period. And then you can slowly bring the temperatures up and then keep it in that east-facing window, and then it might actually start to bloom for you. The other thing, like I said, I'd look into splitting it a little bit.
Okay.
To get a little bit bigger, to get it so it almost like, you're not going to cut the age because it's still going to be the same age, but you're... The plants around it all aren't older. It's going to be able to produce new plants and try to flower for you that way.
Yeah, well, we see new green all the time, but we know what to look for, you know, because of having been through one birth of a flower.
Yep.
You know, we can tell that one of the leaves, once it gets thick, that's probably going to be the flower leaf or stem.
Yep.
But we haven't seen it in quite some time now. So,
I was going to
look at, I'm waiting for my protolyzer to show up. I thought maybe I'd give it a shot of protolyzer at this time of year.
Yeah, protolyzer would be good for it, but you could also look at doing something with a heavier middle number as a fertilizer.
I got you.
Once it's warmed up a little bit.
Okay. All right. But sure, that picture got us all excited. Wow, I wish we had one of those.
Yeah, right.
Because we haven't seen. Okay, well, very good. Thank you very much, Patrick. You stay safe this week.
You too, Bob. Have a
Thank
great
you.
One.
Right.
Bye-bye.
You as well. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Nathan, we still got some calls on the line. All right. We'll keep on keeping on at this point. We got about 20 minutes left in the show. We are getting a little, might get a little bit of snow here, but it might just be more on the southern part of New England. So enjoy that down there if that's where it's coming. But later in the week, we'll get some snow, 3 to 6 inches I'm hearing tomorrow into Tuesday, and then maybe something later in the week. So we are getting more snow. Winter is still here. Winter is still part of what's going on. That groundhog said 6 more weeks of winter. So we're in week 2 of that. My oldest daughter, Katie, tells me the first couple of days, she's like, we're in day 2 of new winter, or we're in day 3 of new winter. So I like that one. That gets me thinking. So definitely, we still got about 4 weeks left, according to the groundhog. So I guess we'll enjoy it, I guess, while we have it. I know those of you who love to ski and love the snow, you're enjoying it. But some of us want spring. I wanted a little bit of snow, but now I want spring back. So we'll be here for another like 15 minutes or so. I appreciate everybody who stuck with us today. I know we had some phone issues where we couldn't get a lot of calls through until later in the day, later in the show. So for the ones who have been listening, I do apologize earlier. Out in where GCN is, it was negative 19 degrees this morning when I connected the show. So they were having some problems out there with some frozen stuff. So I appreciate everybody who listened and waited to call in and helped us out. So just want to say thank you to that, to the crew out there. I know they did some great work to get us back on here. In the meantime, we do have a call, so I want to get Tim to that. Nathan, who's up next?
Tim is in Keene, New Hampshire.
Tim, welcome to the Paul Parent Garden Club. How can we help you today?
Thank you, Patrick. I call frequently. I'm the one that has the rosemary growing outside and
yep.
under a pile of snow, and I think that's going to be fine.
Yep.
With your guidance. But my problem is my indoor rosemary. I get these little cuttings, or I make cuttings, or I buy a cheap rosemary plant in the spring, and I put it in a bigger pot, and I go out, and it looks beautiful all summer, and I put it on the deck with full sun and everything. And then when I bring it in, and I must have done this, not 100 times, that's an exaggeration, but at least a dozen times, and then they just die off in the winter. I have it in the south-facing window. It's fairly close to the window, so it does stay fairly cool. And this year, it's dying in a different way. It's not dying from the top down. It's actually the one whole side, and I'm trying to figure out why, and I think that's the side that doesn't get the light and then stays a little warmer. Is that a possibility? There's no scale or anything else, which I've had other years. So I was just wondering, what's your thought on that, please?
So, the side that's not getting the light and it causing that could it would definitely be something I would say. One suggestion on that is rotating the plant every, like, day or so, or every couple days. Turn it 180 so that for a couple days it gets the sun and then it goes back, so it's not it's not affecting it that way.
The problem with that, Patrick, is that I've got it's a shelf right over my kitchen sink, and I have like 10 plants, and they actually have a seeding plan for them. So when I take them down to water them, they go right back exactly where they are.
Gotcha.
So I can't really turn it, but I've cut off all the dying stuff on the side that's facing in, and the side that's facing out against the window, which also seems to be a little cooler, which I think may be advantageous for a rosemary, because I think they like, you know, when they're in dormancy, I think they like to be a little cooler. But
yep.
That side is fine. I cut off all the other sides, so it's a one-sided plant, but I just want to keep it alive just to see if I can.
And, yes.
I don't even know if this, I think I'm doing the right thing. When I do the dishes, I leave the water overnight. It's warm water, and it provides humidity, and it's right over the where the sink is.
Yep.
And I think that's about all I can do. And, you know, if it doesn't make it, I've already started some cuttings off of it for the spring, and I'll just grow another one. But it doesn't matter if I can keep it alive or not. It's just that I want to do it.
I hear you. So I'm going to run into a break here. I got a couple ideas for you and a couple follow-up questions, but I just didn't want us to get cut off. I want to be able to help you with that. So hang tight for me. We're going to take a break here. When we get back, we'll help you with that rosemary plant. So hang tight, everybody. We're going to take a break. We'll be back.
Bay Advance is a company that brought you Tree and Shrub, the product that we all use to control insects on shrubs and trees, and it lasts for 12 months. Bayer has something new for you this spring, a termite and ant control in a granular form that's fast-releasing and creates a termite-killing zone around your home. Ants, termites bring the products directly to the colony and transfer the product by social interaction and soon die.
Your lawn, destroyed by insects above ground and below. Bayer Advanced Complete Insect Killer protects against both in one easy step. Other leading brands stop at the surface, allowing damage to continue. But Complete's exclusive two-way formula kills insects above ground while it penetrates below ground to control root-destroying pests for up to 3 months. That's the beauty of better science. Bayer Advanced. Better science, better results. BayerAdvanced.com. Always read and follow label directions.
Esfoma, the company that makes Holytone and Plantone fertilizer, has something new for you this spring. A new 4-in-1 weed control that kills weeds, grasses, mosses, and algae. Use it on sidewalks, patios, driveways, and walkways, and you will see results in just hours. Also, an all-natural insect control for roses, vegetables, and flowers is fast-acting and kills all stages of insects from eggs to adults. And a 3-in-1 natural disease control for roses, vegetables, and ornamentals, a triple-action killer for fungus, mites, and insects. That's Esfoma.
How would you like the garden to be green this year? Yes, it's possible with BioSafe products. BioSafe has an organic weed and grass killer. No more Roundup. Organic disease control. Organic insecticide. Organic mold and mildew. BioSafe fruit and vegetable wash. And all the organic products to keep your fish pond clean. Go to BioSafeSystems.com. Call 860-290-8890. BioSafe.
Attention business owners, body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100 and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-507-6553.
800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. That's 800-507-6553.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
Welcome back to the Paul Parent Garden Club. Before the break, we were talking with Tim in regards to his rosemary. He does really well with it outside, brings it inside, and has never really been quite successful with it. Has a complete regimen that he does with them. The humidity's there. Everything's there. I just had a couple follow-up questions that I wanted to find out. How often is it that you do water the rosemary there?
I water it about once a week, and it's in a fairly deep pot. I do stick my finger down into the soil. I know they like to kind of dry out, but I may overwater because I have bonsai trees, and I tend to water those, like, a lot. So I find with houseplants I have a tendency to maybe overwater a little bit. So maybe that's a possibility.
Well, so I think that is one of the issues that's going on with it. I think overwatering happens with rosemary a lot. Rosemary don't like to be watered all the time. So
right.
What I might try to do with your regimen, you said you kind of follow the same, you do it over, maybe with it, you instead of watering every week, water every 2 to 3 weeks, because during the winter months, it doesn't like to be watered as much. When it gets colder, it doesn't absorb the water as much, even though it's in the house. But the plant knows the season we're going through. So maybe switching it to every 2 to 3 weeks of watering would be beneficial for it. Here's the thing with propagation of bringing them indoors and trying to grow them inside. It's harder than growing them outside. I mean, you already know that, but it's one of those things where it doesn't always do as well. It loves full sun, well-drained soil, and not to be overwatered. So that could be what's happening with it. So if I were you, I'd slow down on watering a little bit. And then maybe,
you know, see if that will help it. It might. It might just help it.
I thank you so much. I really believe that's the one thing, because like I said, I have bone dry trees, and I, you know, with the sandy soil and the drainage and everything, and most of them are out, well, they're all outside in the summer, but they need a lot more water because it's all sandy soil and it just drains right through. But I think you've hit the nail on the head. That's the only thing. And I was thinking about that, and I know better, but I just, you know, I have to water it. And I know if I water plants on a schedule, then I'm going to lose plants. You don't want, everything doesn't need to be watered at the same time.
Exactly. And, you know, yeah. I was looking at this the other day. Some, you know, the beginning of the life of the plant, they don't need as much water. So when you're starting to propagate them, you don't need as much water. And there are some plants that just would rather dry out, and rosemary's one of those.
Yeah, and see, I have a hard time with that, and that's the only thing that it could be, so I'm sure that it's going to be okay. I did cut off all the dead sides, so it's a one-sided plant, but the sides that's facing out. And I also think the cool temperature is a good thing for that plant. I think they don't mind being a little cooler.
Yeah, it doesn't want to get, like, freezing cold inside, but, you know, the cooler temperatures, I think, will definitely help it.
Yeah, and I think that's the only thing that I haven't done, and I know it's going to be okay now because you helped me, and I appreciate that.
Awesome. And well, I'm glad I could help you.
Really quick question. I know we're up against the end of the show. When you said on the poinsettia, you said planting them out in the spring. Did you mean leaving them in the pot or actually taking them out and putting them in the ground and then putting them back in the pot to bring in and
either way, some people will actually plant them in the ground.
Okay.
You can. It's not, it's up to you.
I think they grow better in the ground than in a pot.
Oh, I definitely agree with that, and I think you'll get more growth and a bigger growth from it.
Okay, and I kind of put it out in my flowers, and it you know, before the perennials come up, you know, it's kind of like an annual. It still has some red leaves and color, and then they fall off, and then it starts to go wild, but the only thing I haven't done yet is try to dig it up in like the beginning of October and bring it in and put it, you know, go through the darkness phase to bring it back into bloom. But I think I'm going to try that too. So thank you so much.
Awesome. Well, you have a great rest of your day, Tim.
I really appreciate you, and happy Valentine's Day, even though I believe it's a Hallmark holiday compared to a lot of people. And I just hope that you and your family enjoy the day. And I appreciate
thank you so much. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you, Patrick.
All right, guys, that's going to wrap up the show. We are going to call it another week, and we'll be back next week to give you some questions and answers to your gardening problems. So just want to say thank you. Happy Valentine's Day to everyone out there. My special Valentine, my wife, Kristen, my two daughters, Katie and Ella. Love you guys. Till next week, be good, plant something, and wear that mask. We'll see you.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau d'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.